Life insurance is an interesting one, though, because on all the crime shows that I watch, it is life insurance why people kill their spouses. Under all is the land, the real estate. Courtney and friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land, under all is the land. The real estate. Under all is the land, under all is the land. The real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to Under All is the Land. I am your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Fadden.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Did you guys hear the AI Drake song that dropped and the Secret Oasis AI album?
No.
I can't.
You just can't with it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I think it's just so gross that they would use technology to mimic real people and real talents.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah. Oh. It's just, it minimizes it.
Yeah.
It does. You know? It's like, you know, the fact that someone can rap or sing or whatever, tell a story, I don't care, whatever you can do, you know, that's like...
their art.
Yeah, that's their art. Yeah. And now that they can just like so quickly imitate it or make a mockery of it, it puts me off.
It's like sterile.
I think it should be banned, honestly.
Yeah. I think it's been unleashed upon the world without any kind of guidebook for how to use it responsibly. And I don't even know if the laws have considered... how this is going to impact things. This AI Drake song being a great example, it was up on Spotify and on a lot, it got plays, you know, and it's like that likeness, mm-hmm. even in sound, should be copywritten, you know, mm-hmm. like Drake should own his own identity for mm-hmm. the love of God.
His own voice. So that,
I think it's really opening it up to about a lot of lawsuits.
And yeah,
I think
for
people
sure.
are going to blame stuff on AI, like it's this invisible, incapable of being sued entity, but there's a human behind all of this. So I think it's very dangerous. And I agree. I think it's disgusting too when it comes to, especially to art. It's like,
we could make an album now, just have pretend, you know, some AI singing for us. And
I mean we could,
but it
could,
like,
be Shania Twain on AI.
What kind of world do we want to live in?
No, like, exactly. It's
going
absurd.
Into that, you know, Nikos always says things to me like, Mom, we're living in a, what is the word? It's like an imitation of living. What is that word? We're living in a... it's some meta... simulation.
Simulation.
Yeah, he's like, we're living in a simulation.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, when I see things like that, I'm like, could be, you know? Like, that's where things are headed. That's very scary.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's like, you know, we're living in a really, like, indulgent, consumer-minded... society,
right,
where it's like, you know, our attention spans are so short now, and our like want for things and new things and stimulating things is like so beyond any other time, that it's like, imagine, you know, with these AI Drake songs or whatever, any AI song, they could make an unlimited amount of songs.
Right.
I saw something about like Spotify and like the number of I think it was on Spotify, or it's either Apple Music or Spotify, but one of them had stats on how many songs are actually getting plays. And I think the number was like, you know, 158 million like songs on the platform or something.
Right.
And I want to say that it said something like 68 million of those have never had one play.
Oh, wow.
Which means that the person who actually uploaded it is not even playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're right.
So
there,
like,
would at least be one if
why?
You listen to your own music.
Why? Exactly.
That's weird.
It was like something like that. My numbers might be off, but the point of it is like,
it's too much.
Yeah, you know, it's like, imagine if we just kept printing things that weren't being used or kept, you know, it's like so wasteful of our time and our space and our energy, all of it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't like it.
Because it's
absolutely
free. It's
free. It's a good reminder to start, like, you know, being more mindful of our distractions. And we say it, but, you know, I am trying to do it, but I increasingly think what needs to happen even more. And like, I'm even noticing in my household, like, everybody's on their phone even when we're sitting around each other, and it's kind of like,
I don't know.
Did you see the news story about the Biden administration passing
something that will take place in May that increases the interest rates on high quality borrowers, people with good credit, people who pay their bills on time, in order to subsidize people who are higher risk borrowers. What do y'all think about that?
Well, we get punished for having good credit.
That so seems apparently, to be...
I saw something that said good credit is there's like no impact. But if you have great credit, if you have great credit, that's whenever you get charged like an extra, I think it's like 1% or something.
Wait, you'd get an extra
I saw something. I saw something that said 1%.
You know what? It you said you saw something that says it penalizes just the people with the best credit?
Yeah. People with excellent credit get hit the worst, pretty much. And, you know, but it benefits people with bad credit.
Right. So what do you think about this?
It's bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's a hard no.
It's bullshit. It's like, you know, you work hard to get your credit score up. Anyone who's ever started out at a low number.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a lot of work.
You know, it's an achievement. And I feel like, okay, now I'm reaping the benefits of the achievement with my access to better rates and scores and da-da-da, whatever. You know, but now the fact that now my score is going to actually like have a bad impact on me. It's like, why wouldn't I just want to drop my score?
Right. I think we should just take that money to help people with a lesser interest rate or a lesser score from somewhere else. There's plenty of money.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
This
we don't need to penalize people that have good credit.
Exactly. Is there a political aspect to this?
Why do I pay for someone else's problems?
The people who have good credit and give to the people who have bad credit.
Well, that's a political. I'm sure it is political because they're probably looking at the fact that maybe, I don't know, I'm just making this number up, but if 60% of Americans have bad credit scores, well then, who can I appease to get more votes?
Right.
60% of Americans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously political because it's such a fucking stupid idea.
Yeah, it is.
That there can't be anything behind it that's actually logic.
Yeah. Right.
You know, sure based on logic.
You know, it's so frustrating because I feel like when we vote with our hearts a lot of times. Like people vote because they feel like somebody is a good or a bad character, like a vote against somebody who's bad. And, you know, and I do think that this administration is inconsistent and all over the place when it comes to how they're making policies. And, you know, to me, it's like you've spent how much money contributing to Ukraine and getting involved in this proxy war with Russia?
There you go.
You've spent how much money on weapons? You've spent how much money on whatever, everything else? Is there no better way for an American to receive support in owning a home than to take from other people and give it to them when you have such an excess of money that you're literally giving millions and millions and billions of dollars to other countries abroad? I think it's bullshit.
It really is bullshit.
But we put all our money in weapons and in shitty food, in medicine, pharma, just keep more. The amount of money that there, I'm sure there are huge reserves we don't know anything about.
Oh, listen, I'm just, I feel
take
like they keep the, when I look at these administrations, and I don't know that it's just one way or the other, just Democrat or just Republican, it does seem like there is a cohesive effort to make us fight over scraps. Mm-hmm. And this is just another one of those things that tries to pit poor against rich, if that's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it's like people like you and me who like work super hard to be able to qualify for a home loan, come from nothing and now get penalized for it. I'm sorry. The people who are the people at the tippy top, they're buying stuff in cash. They're not even subject to this.
Yeah.
You're not hitting whoever it is. You think you've already got them more higher capital gains, definitely in California and I think federally. You've got an increase in income tax. I mean, how much more can you take? It's just so anti-American.
You know,
I can't run with it.
It's funny because, you know, they want people to be productive and work.
Or do they?
But you know, like, I don't know.
Oh my God! It's like giving me those like that creepy. What is that book that was turned into a movie that had
1986?
No, it had the lady who was a super fan of the author, and then she like broke his legs, but had him in bed.
Oh, Misery.
Misery. It has Misery vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like on some level, politics keep, or the politicians or the rules that I'm seeing like lately feel like they're trying to break us. Those of us who are actually trying to not depend on them so much.
Yeah.
And that's just...
It's just stupid ideas. I wonder, like, do they sit around and think about some stupid shit they can come up with? I wonder how these things are born. Like,
yeah.
Who had the idea and who said, that sounds good? Like, well, I just...
I bet he had bad credit. Whoever the idea came from as a fucking 480.
Well, no, I mean, I think that...
they're probably not sitting around the president, though, right?
There's a lot of talk, like, at higher levels about, you know, reparations and, like, traditionally disadvantaged people and what the impact of certain political things are on certain groups and, like, how good credit, you know, and kind of, like, poor upbringing, they don't go hand in hand. That's true. You do have to work to get out of that. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, but is this the best solution you could come up with, is penalizing people who've worked to have really great credit, mm-hmm. who could be like you, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I just necessarily there have are money. Other options that don't penalize people. That's the bottom line.
You know,
in the effect might be trying to get more people as into the system as homeowners, which I hope it is. But it feels like it just has, like, buy a vote kind of vibes.
I don't think that it is. I mean, I don't know. I think it's... I honestly think that it's a recipe for disaster. And I don't know that it's a goal of getting more people into homes. Like, you know, I think that it's actually, like, putting us more at risk of, like, another crash if you have a lot of people who actually should not be investing in home ownership yet if they don't know how to, like, manage their finances.
What a great point.
You know, yeah, it's actually...
That's actually a great point.
It seems like it's by design, you know, because there are other things, just like whenever
SVB.
They... whenever they made the...
crisis.
Whenever they made it so that, you know, like, the credit bureaus could consider someone's rent payments, you know, as, like, you know, to help boost scores on time rent payments, that makes sense. Mm. That's something that could help people who don't have a mortgage.
Right.
You know,
right.
and help kind of balance the scales. But
that makes logical sense.
Right. That makes logical sense.
That makes logical sense. This one doesn't,
yeah.
What will this fee be called every month that you pay with you? It's part of your,
it's
mortgage,
part of your
payment.
Mortgage payment.
But where does it go? Where does it really go?
And so we're talking, I believe, about, like, Fannie and Freddie underwritten loans. So secondary mortgage market, they get sold. So this is like a thing there in that space. Mm-hmm. To me, it's an opportunity for private lenders. I wish private lenders would create their own secondary mortgage market.
Oh, well.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't think that's possible.
Probably not. Not legal.
But, you know, if you don't take federal money, you can charge whatever interest rate you want. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned from
home. You can sell it to the secondary market.
Well, it doesn't follow the same underwriting criteria as Fannie and Freddie. But I'm not the expert in that space. But I'm just saying, it seems like there's an opportunity for some big private lending institutions, like a SoFi, I don't know if that's private anymore, but like a HomeLight or somebody like that, to, like, come in and make a better interest rate for people with high credit. I mean, if it's not going to come from the other one, it's got to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But to that end, we have a guest today. We've been spending a lot of time talking about wealth, how to make it, how to protect it, and here to address that conversation and so much more is Shamika Brown, who is a financial services agent at New York Life. Welcome, Shamika.
Thank you.
We are so happy to have you here.
Yes.
Why life insurance?
So, short story is the pandemica had me really feeling like I needed to protect my family. I wanted to learn more about what it was going to take. There was so much happening in my personal life in terms of family being affected, you know, by COVID. And that really got me thinking, man, there are so many people that need to really understand how this works and why it's so important.
Do you have life insurance?
No.
Do you?
Yes.
I do too.
Okay.
What made you get life insurance?
The kids.
Yeah. Me too. Same. Mm-hmm. So when you have a kid, you're going to get life insurance, I'm sure.
We're going to talk about that. Why do I need to go ahead and start putting some things in place? But yeah. And yes, I have a daughter, you know, and at the time she was about one. And I just felt like, oh my God, if something happens, you know, where does that leave her?
Right. Right. Life insurance is an interesting one, though, because on all the crime shows that I watch, it is life insurance why people kill their spouses.
It's true. There's a disclaimer out there before we start with this. Okay. I mean, listen, the facts are the facts. However, yeah, I mean, but it's equally as important to have, right? Because if you don't, then what are we talking about? What are we really dealing with then?
Right. So I remember hearing that your life insurance, and I don't know if this is true for all life insurance policies or just the ones that you're working with, but there is a mechanism where it can pay the mortgage of...
Yes,
if something happens, God forbid, like your family's protected mortgage-wise as well. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we like to call mortgage insurance, it really is just taking a policy that would be for the value of that mortgage and putting it in place. So, of course, yes, that amount would pay out, God forbid something happens. And it is, you know... You can layer it, and we can get a little bit more into that, just in terms of what that might look like. But it is a case-by-case basis.
So, like, if I have a life insurance policy for $1 million, I have to buy a separate policy that's like a mortgage insurance policy, where if I die, there'd be a payout for the life insurance policy and a payoff of the mortgage.
Correct. Yeah, I typically tell my clients that it's important to really look at everything that you have going on in your world. You know, life insurance for the kids' college, you know, and again, it's for the living. And I think that's mm-hmm. another misconception about life insurance, that it's only about the death benefit. But we have, you know, policies where there's cash value that you could build inside those policies to be able to access that money tax-free.
So Let's talk about that.
Yes. So let's back up a little bit. Term insurance is pure insurance. Mm-hmm. And what that just means is it's going to pay out at death. But a lot of people have that insurance maybe through their employers. That's typically what an employer is going to provide to you. And, you know, it may not go with you when you leave a company. We provide term insurance specifically for a reason. We say, okay, well, you want this insurance. We want to make sure that you have it in place. But it might be for 10 years. It might be for 20 years. You know, and so once it's gone, it's gone. Whole life is like when you're buying a home, right? So you are investing, you are putting that money in and eventually creating your own bank.
Is the payoff as large as a term
insurance? It all depends on the what amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how, and so it's basically built in savings account as well, because you pay more every month, but you collect that money, it doesn't just go.
Right, so you have the cash account, right. And then you have that amount that is the face amount of the policy.
The face amount.
The face amount. Or
what's
the
face
value
amount?
Or the value, value amount, yes.
Right. So yeah. What's the interest rate on those savings? If I wanted to do, not a term insurance, but let's say, whatever, $500 a month, $80 goes towards the term, and, you know, the life insurance, and then
right.
the other
so,
part, what, how much do
and
I...
And so for New York Life, and we can't get into products specifically, but I would just say that because New York Life is a mutual insurer, we pay our policy owners back in dividends. So, you know, there are some products that are more tied to the market. And, of course, if you're working with a registered rep, they can kind of get more into those mm-hmm. types of products that are, you know, variable and all those things that are more tied to the stock market. With a traditional whole life policy, you are just looking at earning those dividends. And you really get more the more you put in, the more you get out mm-hmm. year over year. Mm-hmm.
So is there an average rate of return? Should people be looking at it like it's a place where you park your money?
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Returns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, is there an average rate of return?
We would have to talk more on in the case-by-case basis to...
Well, I mean, is it more or less, say, than a 401k?
I would say it's definitely competitive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that...
And what's... And the great thing about it is it's not... tied to the stock market, so your money is not going up and
it's
down.
High risk.
Yes, right, exactly. Right. Exactly.
I think that's a really key piece. If mm-hmm. you needed to access the money prior to, like, what ends a term with that? Death?
So there are a number of ways that you can set up the policy. Some of them pay to 100, and so it's going to just continue to accumulate until, you know, you pass on, and then that goes on to the beneficiaries. You do have some policies where you pay into it for, you know, 20 years, 10 years. And then once you're done paying on it, you're still earning those dividends. And so it's it is set up in a really interesting way, but I think that, again, case by case basis, you figure out what it is that you need.
That is interesting. I've never heard of that. Have you heard of any of this?
No.
Yeah. Never. Nobody talks about this.
Is, right. And why? This is one of the things that really intrigued me about insurance, because it is one of the ways that people are building generational wealth. Because can you imagine being able to put $1,000 away a month towards a policy that will continue to earn? And by the way, the death benefit is also increasing. So, you know, you're able to pass that along for the generations, going into a trust and things like that, where it's just more and more protection for your family. And it's the gift that keeps on giving.
So when you say the death benefit goes up, that means it's adjusting for inflation or something like that? Does the years tick on, or how does
no,
it go
that, well, that is something, oh my God, I'm getting into product, but this is something specific to New York Life that, you know, we do offer our clients, where you are actually increasing the value of the account on top of the value of the death benefit.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is something that as a mutual insurer, we're able to do for our clients.
Got it. Interesting. What are other things that people don't know about insurance that they should know?
That it's not as expensive as you think.
Policy by policy? Is that a case by case basis?
So let's back up a little bit. If you came to me and you said, well, you know what? This is my budget. I have $500 that I can invest into coverage for my family, I may say, okay, you know, who are we insuring? Are we insuring you, your husband, your kids? You know, we just have to look at what that looks like. But you can get a term policy at the very least, mm-hmm. for under $100, depending mm-hmm. on your health rating. So, you know, again, you have to look at it as a case-by-case basis, but most people can get some type of insurance. And I think it's super important to understand that there's so much value in setting that up for not only your family, but for you, because you just never know. So starting for someone like yourself who doesn't have kids, you still want to make sure that you're leaving your family in a good position, you know, God forbid something happens. So,
yeah, I feel like, you know, life insurance, I've always thought of it like a bad ad while I'm watching TV. Like, it's always
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. That was me too. It's like, it took me
like,
a minute.
Rah, 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 life insurance. I'm like, oh my yeah. God, this is for grandpa. This isn't for mm-hmm. me, you know? But then when you look at it from a real estate lens and you yeah. actually have some things that you're trying to protect, how does life insurance tie to real estate assets other than the mortgage insurance kind of protection? Is there any other way that you can see it working with real estate investment?
I can definitely see it working from the perspective of, even if you are not wanting to protect it on the back end, you know, being able to raise capital and grow your money inside of the life insurance that you can later take for a down payment or to use toward investing. I definitely think that those are ways that I see a lot of people.
So is it like a high yield savings account plus death benefits?
That's a really good way to look at it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because you're creating your own bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. How do people who are listening to the show right now get more information about where to find different types of insurance that you're talking about?
So, I mean, of course, you
like
know,
the
you
policy
can
plans.
Right. And so with New York Life, you can go to newyorklife.com. Of course, you know, I always say get with an agent who, you know, maybe in your neck of the woods that or is in your city. You can call me, of course.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm here and I'm licensed in California and in some other states. But checking out a company and making sure that they are, first of all, highly rated, that they've been around for a long time. And like I said, with New York Life, we have some products that are specific to our organization, but I think that they're just, you're looking at their ability to pay out those policies,
right?
Because we hear all the time about, you know, organizations that are here today, gone tomorrow. People have sunk their entire life savings into situations, and so you definitely want to look out for those types of red flags. But look for an agent who's operating in integrity. Look for, you know, people who are offering a wide range of products, because, you know, I personally don't just do life insurance. You know, we are financial advisors that, you know, help with retirement, will help with other investment strategies. And so someone that's just going to be able to give you a well-rounded take on how to protect your assets.
Are there scams with life insurance?
I'm pretty sure that there are scams out there.
What kind of scams are out there?
I would say that there are no guarantees. And when I say there are no guarantees, when it comes to, I can guarantee that you're going to earn this, especially if we're talking about something that's in the market. You know, be very careful when you hear those types of buzzwords.
If you hear somebody say to you, there are no guarantees?
No, if you hear someone say, oh, I can guarantee you this, I can guarantee you that. Even dividends aren't guaranteed. You know, people get dividends from stocks and things like that, but they're not guaranteed. Now, we can say that we've been paying them out for, you know, 100 and something years, and so we're a safe bet. But anytime that you're going into this, this is your livelihood. This is your, you know, so you want to make sure that you are investing in the right type of way.
Did these accounts get affected by the changing interest rates with the Fed and that kind of thing?
No, and that's the great thing. We are mutual insurers, so we're not tied to the stock market or to anything.
So no market conditions affect your dividends at all?
So we have some type of reporting that happens year over year, but our dividends have been pretty strong for all of our products for a very long time.
Okay, because if you're saying there are no guarantees, which I understand,
right?
What is the dividend payout based on? If it's not tied to a stock market and it's not impacted by interest rates, how is that predicted?
So it is based on our ability to pay year over year, our rating, and the fact that we're bringing in so much business. We're just financially sound in that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would think that, like, you know, I know when I'm looking for places to put my money, I look at, like, what's the return? You know, how reliable is it? Like, even though the interest rate hike is horrible for loans, it's great for my savings account. Like, mm-hmm. where am I going to get the best return that way? And, you know, like, we're paying for probably term policies. I don't know if you're paying mm-hmm. for something like this.
No, I have
but
a term.
This idea sounds great. I just wonder is how much more expensive it is than term, and like how much that return is. Does it make sense to move your money from a high yield savings account to something like this?
Right.
These are all my questions.
Right, and I think that it's important to sit down with the agent that can kind of go into those more detailed type of nuances and explain to you, because again, we're looking at what you're putting in versus what you're getting out. And again, can't talk too much to product in this platform, but definitely though, you can get those questions answered.
What's the problem with talking to product, that it could change every day, or?
It's just to make sure that I'm certainly not speaking for the company.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Yep,
you
totally.
Know, because I am an independent
financier.
Yeah, I work on an independent basis. And so, you know, when New York Life stands up and says, these are our financials, I want to make sure that they're able to speak to that.
Can you speak to other different ways other than life insurance to protecting your assets?
Definitely. So one of the things that I see a lot of my clients looking into, especially for retirement, is annuities, where you're basically setting up your own type of pension. This is money that you, of course, whether it's qualified from a rollover from a 401k or something like that, into an account that's going to pay out.
Annually?
Monthly.
Monthly?
Yeah, you can definitely.
Annuities pay. I don't know much about annuities, do you?
No.
Do you?
Yeah.
No.
So
again, these are like magical terms I've heard a long time, but I have no idea what
now,
they mean.
So
I remember a very catchy commercial that had annuities in it. That's like the only thing I know about annuities.
Yeah, it's like I've heard the word in those a million times. But
I think my mother-in-law has one, but she lives in Australia.
Can
so.
You break it down for us? Can you tell us what it is? Like,
yes.
Like we're dum-dums?
So an annuity is a retirement account, essentially, where you can create your pension.
Okay.
If you have money laying around, or if you have a 401k and you've left a company and you want to move that money over, it really just gives you a higher yield. A higher return rate on your money, and you know, you can set it up to where you can start to get payouts later in life.
Okay, so you would get payouts later. So you're like postponing your return in exchange for a higher return.
Absolutely.
So that whoever you're giving your money to can go and invest that somewhere and make some money on it. Something like that?
Mm-hmm. It can be for that reason, yes. I mean, I've seen people, because everything is about time, right? So the sooner that you do this, the earlier that you do this, the better. We see most people coming in around their early 40s, somewhere in there, where they're looking at, okay, like, what is the next 20 years going to look like?
Right.
How much do I want to earn in this time?
Right.
So, yeah, you can delay that. You can start to get access to it, you know, after you're kind of out of a particular waiting period. But it's all really so that you can have more
later really, in life.
Exactly.
This is really retirement planning.
Right, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? What else can we do? How do you feel about DSTs? Do you know what those are?
Enlighten me.
Delaware State Trusts.
Okay, I'm not quite
sure. Okay, so we were learning about this a couple, we have I had a guest on who's a big fan, and then we just did a webinar about it because I had never heard of these either, but basically it's where you you can trade in an investment asset that you have and avoid capital gains by buying into something like a syndicate, where it's a Delaware State Trust, so you're putting in your money and you'll get a return in like 5 to 7 years or something like that. Did I explain
that
right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay capital gains on it. So instead of having to exchange like for like and like become a landlord again, if you're older, you might not want to be a landlord anymore. So instead, you let somebody else manage the investment, but you're buying a percentage ownership in what could be a $500 million building or, you know, much bigger project than you would ever be able to afford yourself. You're like, you know, a share, kind of like buying a percentage ownership, uh-huh. Yeah, like a shareholder, and that you don't control it, and you don't have to pay capital gains on your previous purchase. In order, you know, you can use it like a 1031 exchange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am familiar with 1031 exchanges.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really fascinating concept, which you just explained.
Yeah.
And I think that, listen, at the end of the day, anytime that you are looking into vehicles to really, you know, kind of shore your money, grow your money, you just really have to do the research. There's so much more education. You're constantly learning, you know, things about the industry, especially in finance, are always shifting. So we just kind of have to be above board, right? And make sure that we're, like, knowledge is power. So, you know, that's definitely the name of the game there. So you're overwhelmed, trust me.
I mean, I'm always down to learn. And, you know, especially when it comes to protecting money, because again, it shouldn't be that we just learn about this now. I mean, I'm 45 years old.
Right.
Like, why do I not know what an annuity is? I think there are a lot of people who are just not, including myself, who learn as we go.
That's right.
But don't always learn everything about everything. I'm a specialist in certain things.
That's right.
Retirement accounts is not one of them. I know how to make money with real estate for sure. But it's fascinating to learn about what the options are, and I'm definitely going to look deeper into it. Do you guys have any blind spots in what she's saying that you'd like further clarification on that you think would help our viewers? Would you buy an annuity?
I would have to look into the return and how it really looks like. I wonder, you know, there's so many different ways to invest money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are more like traditional ways, like a good old saving account or life insurance with a saving benefit or an annuity and all those things.
Right.
That are probably not the highest.
Not the highest risk, high return.
They're like low risk, long term.
Right.
Small payouts kind of things. I'm not sure. I would probably be more interested in the faster, more money, more risk.
Well, I think one thing that COVID really revealed is how unprepared the majority of younger people are in the event that something catastrophic goes wrong.
Right.
And so if we could just say it's worth investigating to see, even if you have $100 a month, to protect yourself and the people that you love in the event of, God forbid, something unfortunate happening.
Yeah.
We don't like to think of it. It's unsavory. But life insurance is not just for the elderly. That's
right. Right.
And that might be the title.
Yeah. And it's really it's really inexpensive.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's inexpensive.
For quite
protection.
A large amount of money.
Yeah.
I have a question, actually. That ties into Courtney's comment about murder. So
go in there, Nate. Get
in
there.
Let's go.
Murder. Yeah,
whatever you're getting life insurance, do the people who are on the policy receiving the benefits have to be made aware?
It's an excellent question.
Actually,
I asked that question.
You can change your beneficiary at any time, and no. It would behoove you
to let them know,
however,
that there's something waiting.
When the time comes. You know, a lot of times people, things change, you know.
Yeah.
I hear stories all the time about, you know, a wife will call and be like, listen, I want to take my husband off of the, this policy, you know what I mean? And it's absolutely her business, you know what I mean? So so to answer your question, no. These, as the owner, you can determine who knows what and who you make privy.
That's the scariest part of life insurance, I gotta say, because I, in another circumstance, was trying to find out if it's possible to find out who has policies on your life. And well, it's now like, how can I find that out? Now, it was impossible in the state of Florida.
I am not licensed in Florida and did not know that. But I'll tell
you
this.
I had a hard time. I don't know.
From what I understand, you cannot get a policy on someone if there is no signature from that person.
Okay, so is that a California thing?
That's for California. I know that's for another. That's for some other states that I am licensed in. Okay, I know that's how New York Life. You know, we're very protective about doing everything. You know, because we don't want the powers that be looking at us crazy. Like, well, wait a minute, how did this even become a thing? Because can you imagine the insurance industry? You know, when it comes to how people move money, legally, illegally, all these different things, as someone in this position, I have to ask the hard questions. But I'm never
going
to...
Do you plan on killing your ex-wife?
Why? Okay, now, so in other words, do you have a right to insure this person?
Oh,
right? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, especially even for, you know, children. Okay, if you're under the age of 18, I'm your guardian, I can get a policy for you. But once you hit 18, I'm now going to have a signature.
I was under the impression that only you can get an insurance for your own life. I didn't know that someone else can say, I could insure you and pay for it every
year.
You
know what? It's required in a lot of divorce proceedings that when people divorce, if they have a kid, that there's a life insurance policy that pays the other person in the event of this person's death to protect the kid.
Right. Okay. Well, that I understand. But can a strange, like, can somebody who's not related just get a life insurance policy on someone?
So we do have situations where business owners, if there's a key person in the company and the company looks to take, may have a loss by losing that person, we call it key man insurance. But basically it just means that I can say, all right, we're going to get a policy for this person. Something happens, of course this person is aware that we're getting it,
right.
But those are the things
but
that happen.
Those are reasons, right?
Those are reasons.
So let's
just
say, let's call it, like, for example, I get a policy on Courtney.
Don't even think about it.
Taken.
Is that even
I would have to stop.
She already has one.
Taken.
No, but how does this even make sense? Like, would this, this is possible for me to do?
This is possible for you to do.
That is insane.
In a business setting where there's some other things that you would have to kind of understand about the setup of the business. Business owners do this to protect what they feel is a viable asset.
That makes sense. Your CFO is getting a policy, whoever, right?
Because you think about how much the key people in your organization are bringing to the table.
It's true.
And equally, what the company could go under if that one person is no longer there.
It's true. Like, if J-Lo's glam team lost J-Lo.
Right. Where's the glam team now?
Exactly.
Right, what would they do?
Yeah.
What
would happen? These are all things that, you know, it blew my mind to learn this stuff.
And you can insure, obviously, like, athletes insure their legs or arms or tennis players.
Right. And you know what?
Pianists that insure their hands. And I wonder how many, I always wonder how much money that actually, like, how, what's the insurance number, look like on
somebody's,
like,
hand?
A superstar piano, somebody. Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that up. I really want to talk about health just for a moment, because when we talk about qualifying for insurance, we are never as healthy and as insurable as we are right now. So think about that, especially for those young folks out there that don't think that you need insurance. Trust me, you could go out there and God knows what will happen. And it's all about where you are in your life at that moment. So I want to definitely just mention that, because we have athletes, to your point. Of course, you know, they're out there, they're doing their thing. If they have some type of illness, you know, then that might affect them even getting approved for a policy. When you talk about $1 million policy, $2 million, like, this is all important stuff to know. So
the sooner the better.
Sooner the better. check it out. At least have that conversation. And also know what you know. Because when we talk about you saying, oh, you know what, I'm good, my employer gives me a policy, whatnot, how much is it for?
Right.
Is it term? Is it whole life? Are you earning any extra money inside of that policy? A lot of people don't know these things. And so I just really want that to be kind of top of mind when it comes to insurance. Vet, ask a lot of questions, and better to have it than not.
How can people find you?
Okay, so I will share my website and my LinkedIn.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes.
And then you can share that with everyone online.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So you can connect with Shamika online. We'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us on Under All Is the Land.
Thank you, ladies, for having me. Thank you.
Very good. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.